You've tuned in to Wednesday Night Bible Study at Central Baptist Church.
Good Wednesday evening. We want to welcome you to our Wednesday evening Bible study. So we welcome our friends and family and viewers, wherever you may be. We're glad that you have chosen to be with us this evening for the Bible study. We're actually going to be looking in God's Word out of the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. So if you have your Bible, go ahead and turn over there with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. If you don't, reach up there and hit pause and grab a Bible. We definitely want you to be with us during this Bible study. Believe it or not, this is Wednesday, September the 2nd. It's hard to believe that we are this far into this year. I know that COVID has really just messed up my schedule. I'm sure it's probably done the same for each and every one of you. But we're so glad that you're joining us tonight as we look at 1 Corinthians in chapter 9. Now, to get started, I want to ask you a question. And the question I want to ask you is, are you a competitive person, or do you know somebody that is very competitive? I know that there have been people in my life that that they're just competitive by nature. And when I say they're competitive by nature, everything is a contest. It doesn't make any difference what it is. It's a contest. If you're walking across the parking lot to get into the store, they're going to make sure that they're first. If you sit down to have a bite for lunch, I'll race you. Let's see who can get through first. The reason I say that and I ask you that and get you to dwell on it for just a few moments is because Paul was a very competitive person in the Bible. When we begin to look at Paul's circumstances and situations, when we consider him as Saul prior to his conversion, he was a persecutor of the Christians, but he was one of the best that there ever was. I mean, he made sure that whatever he did his best at. Then what happened was when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he became the best preacher there ever was. He became the best advocate for Christians that that you and I have ever known, and we still study about him today. And everything that Paul did, he wanted to do the very, very best that he could to the best of his ability. When he was wrong, he was very good at being wrong. But when he realized that Jesus was the way, he became one of the greatest pastors and evangelists that we have ever known. So I want you to think about not only Paul's competitive nature this evening, but I want you to think about yours. When we look at this text, in the text that we're dealing with today, we're going to see Paul's competitive heart when it comes down to winning people for the gospel of Christ. If you've got your Bible, go ahead and look with me at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to begin reading at verse 19. 1 Corinthians 9, beginning at verse 19. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews, I became as a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. Verse 21, to those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without the law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. Verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we an unperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. As we look at your word tonight, we just ask and pray that you will open your word to us. Speak into our hearts. Help us, Lord, to still our lives for these moments that we have come in contact with you. Lord, we realize that your Holy Spirit has a message for us today from your word. May we be faithful to hear it. Lord, may we calm the distractions around us that we might truly be in your word. Lord, if we need to make adjustments in our lives, I pray that you will give us the strength and the courage to do just that. Bless our time, Father, as only you can, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you look at Paul, Paul is, at this particular point, he is fired up about reaching people with the gospel of Christ, and he realizes that through Christ, Christ brings freedom. You have to understand that Paul was living in that time that, I consider probably one of the hardest times to have ever been alive, because he was alive when, Jesus was here. He knew that Jesus was the, prophesied coming Messiah. But he also realized that spirituality, as it were, at that particular point in time, was evolving around keeping the law. So one of the things that was really, really tough back in that day was for, people to understand that there was going to be a new sacrifice in Jesus Christ. And Paul was, preaching Christ crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. Now, this guy was excited about it. This is a guy that you wanted on your team. Now, when I say that, Paul probably was a very hard guy to serve with as well, because he was one of those guys who expected something from you. We see that throughout his missionary journeys and the people that he came in contact with, that Paul was that guy who, if you were going to be on his team, you were going to pull your part. He didn't take excuses. He expected you to work as hard as he did. He expected you to be right out there with the right heart, serving Jesus and carrying that gospel message. So in, the first part of our passages in verse 19, he actually says, "For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all that I might win more." So what Paul is saying is, he's saying that, if it's going to take me being a servant to others to be on the same level as they are, to be able to reach them and to have some understanding, he said, then that's what I am willing to do. Now, let me kind of capture these verses and then give an explanation, because throughout my life, and I know a lot of evangelicals, like, this has been something that, people have used in a wrong way, this particular concept. In verse 20, he says this. He says, "And to the Jews I became as a Jew that I might win Jews. To those who were under the law as under the law that I might win those who were under the law. To those who were without the law as without law, not being without the law toward God, but under law toward Christ, that I might win those who are without law." He says, verse 22, "To the weak I became as weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men that I might by all means save some." Now let me break that down for you and tell you what Paul was talking about there. Paul was one of those guys who was a Jew. He was educated. He knew their customs. He knew their ways. So he fit in really nicely. When he was with the Jews, he could be just like them. He knew their customs. He knew their traditions. He knew everything about them. So when people would see Paul in a Jewish type setting, they didn't look at him any different. They didn't look at him as some sort of a stranger or an alien. They looked at him and said, "Well, you're one of us." he knew what the laws, what the customs were that they observed. Now, what he was trying to say is that there were a lot of things that after Christ weren't going to have to do anymore. They weren't going to have to keep on sacrificing animals, because Christ was the once for one and all perfect sacrifice. There were a lot of things that they were going to do which I would call man-made issues. A term that would be used today would be legalism. There's a lot of, and let me just kind of give you an idea of legalism today. Legalism is, well, you know, women don't wear pants. Men don't wear their hair touching their collar. They don't have their, hair touching their ears. That's not something that's spoken of in the Bible. That's a, man-made law or rule, and the Jews had a lot of those. Now, they had a lot of things that were also in keeping with the, Mosaic law that was given in the days of the Old Testament, but Paul could fit right in with them. Now, the Gentiles weren't doing that. You could definitely see, if you were in a crowd, whether here was somebody that was a Jew or whether it was somebody that was Gentile, based on their, manners and based on their customs. And what Paul was saying was simply this. He says, when I am with the Jewish people, I will act like the Jewish people. I will observe their traditions. I will observe their customs, providing they do not violate God's law. And he said, I'm doing this that I might be given a hearing, that they might listen to what I have to say when it comes down to talking about Jesus Christ and sharing that love and sharing that plan of salvation. But Paul also went further, and he said that when I am with those who are without the law, most often referring to the Gentile folks, those who were not Jewish, he said, I can be just like them. He said, now when it comes down to the certain things that the Jews say, well, we don't eat these certain things, but the Gentiles did. If Paul was with the Jews, he said, I won't eat those things. He said, now when I'm with the Gentiles, I will eat those things, because it's not a personal spiritual conviction for me to do that. But he says, I will be along the way, as long as it does not violate God's law, I will be what those people think that I ought to be, that I might be given a hearing. Now, let me give you just a little example of that. There are times when I have opportunity and occasion to preach in different churches. As a matter of fact, coming up, I'm going to have an opportunity to preach in the church where I started my ministry for homecoming. And if I'm going to some other church, if I'm going to some place, one of the first questions I'll ask the pastor is, I'll say, what translation of the Bible do you all use at your church? Because as you know, nowadays there are many, many translations. There's the King James, the New King James, the ESV, the New American Standard. There are so many different ones. So I'll ask them, what translation of the Bible do you use in your church? And if they tell me, we use the staunch King James Version, that is exactly what I'm going to use to preach with. I remember a conversation that I had with a fellow one time, and it was another pastor, and he said that he was invited to do a revival. And at the place that he was going to be going, they said to him, they said, well, we really use a King James Bible. So, you know, if you don't use a King James Bible, you know, we would prefer that you either use it or let me know now so we can make other arrangements. Well, this guy hadn't made his mind up yet. He was sharing that with me. And I said, well, just use the King James Bible. And it was like he was really considering not going and preaching that revival over that certain thing. And I said, you know, what difference does that make as far as using the King James Bible? It's not that it's a terrible translation. It's not that you have a conviction against it. It's just something to argue about. Why not just remove the thing to argue about? And he said, well, you know, I never really thought about it that way. And he did go preach the revival, and he did use the King James Version. Nothing wrong with that. So what Paul was saying is, he said, I become all things to all people that I might win some. Now, I need to clarify something about that, because I said a little earlier that this is a circumstance and a situation that very often people will misconstrue. Let me just make it plain and simple. Paul is not saying that he needs to become an alcoholic so he can win an alcoholic. What Paul is saying, because he went along and put the caveat in there, he said, not being without law toward God, but under law toward Christ. He makes this little caveat insert in here, and he says, that doesn't mean that I go to a sinful level to reach them. He says, I try to reach them where their sin is, but that doesn't mean that I become a partaker in their sin. And that's what he meant when he goes down later on in the verses, and he says, that I become all things to all people that I might win some. Now, one of the main arguments for today would be like dress and clothing. And in churches across America today, there are times when people say, oh, well, you know, if you don't have a coat and a tie on, then you shouldn't come in to the house of the Lord. And there are people, unfortunately, in a church who would look at somebody and say, well, that guy doesn't have a coat and a tie on. What's the problem there? The problem is that's a soul that Jesus loved. That's a soul that Jesus went to Calvary's cross and died for. He shed his blood for. And it's important to Jesus, and it should be important to us. We're not to sit in judgment over man-made laws. And Paul said, you know what? I'm not here to stir the pot. I'm not here to cause trouble. But when I'm with the Gentile people, I can be like a Gentile person without violating the Word of God, without violating my conviction, and without violating what the Word of God tells me that I should be doing. But he says also, when I am with the Jews, I can still follow their manners and customs as long as they're not contrary to God's Word, as long as they're not something that is a conviction in my heart that I should not be doing. So that's what Paul's saying when he says, I become all things to all people that I might win some. And that's very important. Now, remember, we were talking a little while ago about the competitive nature of Paul and the competitive nature of maybe you and I or somebody that we know that we're close to. Verse 24 says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? He's saying there is a standard. He's saying that everybody starts off equally on the starting mark. Picture yourself being in a race. Everybody gets on the mark, as it's called, in a race. Remember, even as children, we would say, on your mark, get set, go. On your mark, get ready. Everybody's here. Everybody is equal at this point. You're set, you're ready, go. Well, things look completely different when you get to the finish line. Not everybody can be the winner. Not everybody can come in first. And what Paul was saying is, he's saying, I want you to run to win. I don't want you to just get out there and spend time. He says, when you get out here, I want you to play to win. Now, a completely different message for another day is that some people are so captivated by winning that they don't know how to lose. Now, I don't think that you should be satisfied with losing, but it is something that should push you forward. It should make you train harder. It should make you want to be better at what you do. Paul is saying that being a spiritual witness is no different than that. We should be training. How do we train? I'll get to that in just a moment. Verse 24, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? And he says this, latter part of verse 24, run in such a way that you may obtain it. Work hard. Give it your best. Do the best you can. You know, I've had the privilege in my life of coaching before on a middle school level, and there are times when I saw people really give it their all. That's the way we look at it. We'll say, give me your best. Give it all you've got. There was a concept in football that says, leave it all on the field. Do the very best that you have so that if you walk away, even if you lost at the end of that day, you can say, I did the very, very best that I could do. Now, when we can compare that to being a witness for Christ to others, when we put our head on a pillow at the end of the day, can we really say we've done the best we could? See, that is Christ's expectation in your life and in my life as a believer, to share Him with others and to do it with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our might as unto Him. There were times when I was coaching that I saw people being, as we called it, lazy. And I'd be getting all over them. I'd say, come on, you can do better than that. I know you. I've seen you do better. You're not giving it the very, very best that you have. And that's what Paul's saying in the latter part of verse 24. He says, run in such a way that you may obtain it, and it being the prize. He says in verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now, let me give that to you in a different translation. That verse reads in the ESV, it says, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. And he's making that adage to an athlete, and he's saying that athletes have to exercise self-control. That's why they train. It's a discipline. They go out there. When you look at football players, they're in the weight room. Even when they're not playing, they're trying to become stronger. They work on their footwork. They practice. You see it. You've even seen it on TV as we're going through the pandemic. It's showing you practices at the pro facilities and places. And you're seeing them, you know, run their pass patterns. You're seeing them step off their blocks. They're doing this repetitiously that they may become the very, very best at what they do. And Paul is saying that at every athlete, verse 25, exercises self-control and discipline in all these things. And he says, now they're doing this that they could receive a perishable wreath. Back in his day, when there was competition, the prize or the trophy was generally a wreath that was given to the winner. And he's saying that these people are working so hard for something that's not going to make it through all of eternity. He's not necessarily using that as a bad thing, but he is saying that when we make a comparison in our spiritual lives to this, we shouldn't be out there working for things that aren't going to make it into the glory of God. We shouldn't be spending all of our time and effort on material things that you can't take with you when you go into glory. And he's saying these athletes are working for something, in his case he called it perishable because the wreath was made out of greenery. Yes, the wreath was going to die, just like flowers. You may give your wife or your sweetheart flowers and they're beautiful while they're sitting there in the vase, but after a while they wither and they die away. And he says, but no, that's not us with Christians. We're in the race and we're competing for a crown that is unperishable, a crown that will last throughout all of eternity, a crown that we will receive when we meet Jesus face to face. Not that we might just have it for ourselves, but that we might have that gift to be able to lay at the feet of our Lord and Savior. He says in verse 26, he says, "Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air." Let me give you that one as well in an ESV translation. He says this, "So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one who beats the air." He says, I'm not out there shadow boxing. He says, I'm running with a cause. I am running with a purpose. Yeah, I think one of the tragedies in the life of any Christian is to go through life and not understand what your cause is, to not understand why the Lord has placed you on this earth, to not understand our gifts, our talents, and our abilities that He's given us. I've heard so many people who have said, well, preacher, I don't have any gifts or talents or abilities. Well, according to the Word of God, everybody has at least one thing that you can use for His honor, that you can use for His glory. And you know what? If one's all you've got, then use it as best you can. As long as you're here, as long as you can make a difference for the cause of Christ, because He knows the talents and gifts that He's given you. So that you and I can take heed out of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and particularly verse 26, so that we do not run aimlessly. Folks, let me tell you, life is not about a bigger house. It's not about a bigger car, more land, a bigger bank account, nicer clothing. It's not about any of those things. And Paul is trying to make a point that we need to make sure our focus is on the right thing. And our focus should be that of being and living a Christian life in a manner pleasing to the Lord. Our focus should be in reaching others. We should be so excited about the gospel that it is paramount and it is first place in who you and I are. So he says in verse 26, "So I don't run aimlessly." I'm not sitting here this evening preaching into a camera aimlessly. I'm not doing this because I don't have other things that I could be doing. I'm not doing this just so that we can have something to put out there. I am doing this that you and I might exercise our spiritual disciplines, that we might become what God wants us to be, that we would sit back and say, we have a purpose in this life, and our purpose is to share the gospel message with others, to be that witness. Now, I've shared this many times with our crew here at the church, but you may be joining us by way of the web or some way that you haven't been part of our family and you haven't heard me say this before. But each and everything that we do, we should honor and our witness out in the world. Now, let's think about that term witness for a moment. You hear people use that in a spiritual way all the time. Well, you need to go out and witness. Well, let's think about the term witness in a way that we can understand it. Think about it in a court of law term. When the judge calls a witness can only testify to one thing. The only thing a witness can testify to are the things that he or she has either seen or heard personally. I can't sit back and say, well, I was out the other day and cameraman Donnie and cameraman Blake told me that they saw this accident happen. No. That's called hearsay. If I actually saw the accident myself, then I can testify and say on such and such a date at such and such a time, I saw car A stopped at a stoplight and car B hit it from behind. I can testify. I can be a witness to that because I personally have seen it or heard it. I can't go and tell your story. You have a unique story that Christ has surrounded you. You have a unique story in your salvation, and only you can be the witness to share that with the whole world. So I want to encourage you, just as Paul would. Now, Paul may have been a little bit harder. Paul's sitting there saying, you're going to be on my team. You're going to get out there. You're going to share Jesus with people. And if you're a slacker, I don't want you anymore. Paul would fire you in a heartbeat. We know that through his missionary journeys, there was some time he had some trouble with people, almost to a point that people said, that guy would be hard to work for. But yet he had the right heart. The right heart was to be able to share that gospel message. And the heart that he is wanting you and I to understand today is that we're not to run, verse 26, aimlessly. He says, I don't shadow box. I'm not sitting there just with the wall, throwing punches at the shadows. There's going to be somebody in front of me. I am out here on a mission for our Lord and Savior. Would you come and join me on that mission? In verse 27, he kind of wraps that chapter up by saying, but I discipline my body and keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. And this is a very, very important verse. He says, I discipline my body to keep it under control. Now, what did he mean about discipline of his body? He says, lest after preaching to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul said, we have to be very, very careful. Some of us have used that biblical term that mama or grandma had used before, although it's a biblical term that says this. It says, but by the grace of God go I. When we look at situations and circumstances of other people, yes, they may be backslidden. Yes, they may be walking out of the will and the way of the master. And too often we're quick to judge. And I like the old expression that I even used this past Sunday that a teacher told me one time when I was little and growing up. He says, you better be careful when you point a finger, because when you point a finger, there's three that are pointing back at you. And Paul says, I have to be very, very careful that as I preach the gospel, that I am also an example of the gospel. And that calls for and takes in our lives spiritual disciplines. We must be ready. Just like a good ball team, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, soccer, whatever it may be, they practice that they may be good at what they do. So many might sit back and say, so how do I practice as a Christian person? I mean, how do you practice being a Christian? Well, let me tell you, you practice the disciplines of our Lord and Savior in being in His Word. You practice those disciplines in forming that relationship with Him through prayer. You practice those things by listening to the Holy Spirit's leadership and guidance in your life. You know, when you're getting ready to do something wrong, the Holy Spirit convicts your heart even before you do it. Because as a believer, you and I have the Spirit that's our leader and our guide. The question is, will we listen to what our Spirit guide, the Holy Spirit, is telling us? And Paul's saying, we have got to dot the I's and cross the T's. We can't just tell people about Jesus. We need to show them what that life looks like. We can't sit there and preach one thing and practice something different, because the world will look at us and say, man, you're a hypocrite. I've shared this many, many times. The world, a lost and dying world, may not know the way of salvation. They may not know Jesus, but let me make you a promise on what they do know. They do know how a Christian should walk. They do know how a Christian should talk. And when you're not doing that, it puts a big black mark, a big black eye on the gospel message, the saving grace, and the joy of following our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So when we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing, it creates a lot of issues with others. And it makes it extremely hard to reach others with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this question today. As a result of this study, as looking at these passages and looking at Paul's encouragement, what are some personal spiritual disciplines that the Holy Spirit has called to attention in your heart and in your mind that you need to improve on in your life? Maybe it's your Bible study. Maybe it's making sure that you make that time for Him to gather in His Word that He might be able to speak to you. Maybe it's your prayer life. Maybe you need to learn by going into that prayer closet and setting that spiritual discipline. You see, doing those things is like practice for the game, as they would say. It's like being in the weight room. It's like preparing. And Paul said, prepare so that you might win. This is a situation that Paul was one of those guys that didn't like to lose. I don't like to lose. Now, Paul also balanced that with the fact that you also have to understand and learn how to be a graceful loser. Not when it comes to sharing the gospel, because that is a win-win situation all the time. What are the spiritual disciplines in your life that need to be sharpened? What are the things that need to be honed? You know, what are the things that we need to understand? Because I think too many times when we go back up a little bit earlier in the passage that we're talking about, when Paul said this, he said, I become all things to all people that I might win some. I pray that today we have a better understanding of what he meant when he said that to you and I. Once again, I have to remind you that Paul didn't say become an alcoholic to win an alcoholic, but he also said not to forsake that alcoholic. We reach him with the spiritual gifts and with the disciplines that God has given us. We don't give up on anybody. We don't look at ourselves at a different plane. We don't look down on people. The church of Christ today has a stigma with a lost and dying world. Oftentimes they look and say, well, you're a goody-goody, and you look at me as that you are better than me. And that's a tragedy. Paul says we need to be able to witness to all folk. That means that when you go, I kind of liken it to when we go on mission trips. We have the opportunities to go to Cuba. No, we're not sleeping in a Sealy posturpedic bed. No, we're not eating to us what would be gourmet food. We're not sitting in the most comfortable of environments and atmospheres. It's hot. Yeah, we're doing hard work. We're doing manual labor. We're doing spiritual labor that can't even compare to the level of which you and I have today here in the United States of America. But in the process, it's not one of those things where we complain or argue about it. We embrace those Christian brothers and sisters. So while we're there, we become as they are. Now, these are brothers and sisters, so that's really easy to do. Now, the caveat again that I want to remind you before we close today is that doesn't mean that you become a sinner to reach a sinner. But what that means is that you don't decide you're not going to preach the revival just simply because you don't like the King James Version. And I think you're picking up on what I'm understanding, or what I'm putting out there. So may each and every one of us have that understanding, and may we be more courteous, may we be more patient, may we never ever sacrifice our convictions according to the Word of God, but at the same time, may we not set in judgment of others, may we reach them. If you want to be a part of King Jesus, that is great. Then here's what I want to encourage you to do. Run to win. I want you to begin to train. I want you to practice. I want you to tell your story. I want you to be that witness to those, starting with those that you know. You know, if you have to write it out, write it out. I know some people have written their personal testimony out. They've read it to people that they come in contact with in their sphere of influence. You never know how God might use you in the kingdom of God. I know this, that there's some people that are looked at on this earth that may be considered insignificant. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven, they're going to be very, very significant. So what are your spiritual disciplines? Are you practicing them? Are you running the race to win? Are you doing so without compromising the Word of God? What are the things that we need to get better at as convicted by the Holy Spirit today? Ponder those things. Practice them throughout this week, and we'll look forward to gathering once again next Wednesday for our Bible study, but Sunday morning at Central Baptist Church at 10:45. And if you can't be here with us on site, we do have our live broadcast. In just a moment, I'm going to dismiss us in a word of prayer, but I do want to give you your Bible readings for this week, heading into the week of our Bible study on September the 9th. So the passages the five passages, and just as a reminder, we're just asking you to read one chapter a day. That's all. One chapter a day. Very simple. You can do this. One of your spiritual disciplines. Take the time to read that chapter, contemplate it, meditate on it. Let the Holy Spirit show you what He wants you to know in the midst of these passages. So for this week, it's going to be the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love book. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 through 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Now remember, that's only five chapters. So it's 1 Corinthians 13, 14, 15, 16, and 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And next Wednesday, when we come together for our Bible study, we will be looking at the grace of God according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I will also put these study notes out on our social media page here shortly so that you'll have an opportunity to see them and then some study questions along the way. So as always, I want to remind folks that we are using the D-Life Bible Study. This has been reproduced with the express written consent of the author Bill Wilkes. So when you see that come up on the feeds on Facebook, we're not violating the copyright law. We have written consent on that. And I want to thank you for taking the time this evening to join us. I pray that God's going to move in your heart, and He's going to encourage you and at the same time challenge you to become a better witness for Him. So there's your Bible readings for next week. Let me dismiss us in a word of prayer as well as give you a big shout out and a thank you for maintaining your giving through Central Baptist Church. If you don't have a church home, please support us that we might continue to get the gospel out. You can do that by going to our website at www.oakridgecbc.org. There's a giving tab there. If you're living in this area, you can bring it by, drop it off to church during office hours, which are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Or you can mail it in to our P.O. Box, which is P.O. Box 533, Oak Ridge, North Carolina, 27310. Or you can just come and join us. By the way, we're doing safe social distancing at our 10:45 Sunday morning services. We have several venues. You can sit outside, bring a chair. You can sit outside under a shade tree, hear the service. You can drive up in your car, roll the windows down. You can hear the service. You can come into our multi-purpose building, bring a chair. You can social distance from those that that may be around you. Or we have our sanctuary open where you can sit in there and watch the simulcast. At any rate, we want to make it safe for you. If you don't feel comfortable with that, tune in on our Facebook page as we'll come to you live at 10:45 on Sunday mornings. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. Again, we thank you for the challenges. But Lord, we thank you most of all for Jesus. We thank you for salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray right now that you will do some incredible things in our lives. Speak to us. Show us where we need to practice better, that we might play better. Lord, that we might listen to the Holy Spirit, that your word might permeate all of our being, that we'll be so excited, just like Paul was, to go out and to share the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again, life eternal. So Lord, bless us this week. Give us an extra portion of your grace for having gathered around your word as we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you. We love you.